This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you decent podcasts since 2013.
Conversation Podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah! This is In The Conversation. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice.
What's good, man? How you doing?
Man, I am doing very good.
We're coming off of a string of real star-studded situations.
No doubt.
You know.
And you know, the thing about it is, man, I think we on the glow up.
Yeah.
I think our listeners are glowing up with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to take this thing to the next level.
I think so. I think that's what it is.
So with what we've been doing, we've been in the conversation.
Right.
We've been in the conversation with people who create the conversation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I think going forth, we're going to keep that movement going. We're going to keep the people who create the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the people who are in the conversation.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to keep our listeners popping.
Okay.
Just like we always
there do. There it is. Just in time for Thanksgiving.
We here.
Come get this meal.
Food for thought.
You know what I mean? How about that? we have an esteemed guest in the building.
Oh, do we?
Absolutely.
We do.
Legend.
Absolutely. You iconic.
Know, you know. The master of the event, I'd like to say.
The master of the black entertainment moment. Industry event.
You know, because we often talk about on the show how to identify the moment and how to make a moment a moment.
No
and
doubt.
If anybody know how to make a moment, it's our guest.
Our guest this week.
Our guest this week is...
The good, the gracious, the beautiful...
Carla Radford! Carla Radford is in the building.
Carla Radford.
St. Louis is
Carla with a motherfucking K.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Get it right. Get it tight.
Get mm-hmm. it right.
Right.
Oh shit! You're gonna speak to us.
Uh-huh. Carla's a little.
She not shy. Don't even fucking act like that. What's up, Carla?
Just never did this before, guys.
No doubt.
I'm glad,
and that's why we doing this.
Yeah.
So the people who don't usually tell that story. See, I'm from the era, like, you know, I grew up in the era of, you know what I'm saying, everybody business ain't nobody business.
Mm.
What happens in this house stays in this house. You know what I'm saying? Don't be talking out in the streets and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But this day and age, you know what I'm saying, the people got to know who the people are and who the people were. You can't have a future without the motherfuckers who laid the foundation. And you one of the ones who laid one of the good foundations in this culture.
True story.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Where did it begin, Carl? Like, let's get it all into it. Let's talk about how did you? Yeah, where did all
where
begin?
Did this start?
Yeah.
Well, when I moved to New York, I moved here to become an actress.
Did you?
Yes. Oh, I used shit. To do commercials, and by fate, I met someone that worked for Time Inc. at the time that Vibe magazine had its launch edition on the racks.
And what was that launch? What was that was like?
Ooh, that was stretch.
That was stretch. That was stretch. That was like the pre-launch.
It was stretch. And okay. When that iconic issue showed up on every newsstand, no one knew what it was. Mind blowing.
Exactly.
It was black and white. It was mind blowing. And it was this huge logo across the top that said Vibe. And everybody picked it up.
I mean, everybody's mind was blown.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I talked about this the other week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I saw it. I was at FAMU selling weed, and I went to drop off some weed to Larry Tate and them. And then
incrimination,
right? The podcast. On the air,
not even incrimination.
Keep it moving.
Okay, I dropped it off,
Larry,
and they had this big ass magazine that was bigger than everything else with Tretch on the front, black and white. It changed my whole life. What the fuck
is
this?
It changed everybody's life, and if you saw it, you definitely gravitated towards it, and you picked it up and you read it from cover to cover, and then you read it from cover to cover again.
Backwards.
Because you didn't see it again for a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was one issue, one drop, vibe, Tretch on the cover, and nothing for a year. So you just had to keep reading that one magazine.
Like a coffee table book.
It was definitely like a coffee table book.
Majestic.
With a flimsy cover.
And it just so happened that I lived in this building right through the Lincoln Tunnel with this woman that rode the bus with me, black woman. Her name, Lynn McDaniels.
She was an executive
at Time Inc. And in conversation one night, I just said to her, I am finished with acting and I want to get in the music business. And I had already interviewed at Def Jam. And the person that I interviewed with, he said I had no music experience.
He probably didn't either.
Well, he left the door open for me to walk through another door, which I thanked him for years later. And Lynn said to me one day, have you ever heard of this magazine called Vibe? I was like, oh my God, Vibe? It came out like a year ago, and it was like the best thing I've ever read. She says, well, it's a Time Inc. magazine, and I think you should interview. And she set me up with an interview with the COO of the magazine, and the rest is history. Yes.
So you got in. It was that time.
Yes, I got in.
And what was your position when you got in?
I was an assistant, and it was only four people that was at the magazine at that time. And I was one of four.
Wow.
On the business staff. And a few months later, I was charged with launching this magazine through an event.
So they said, hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you, hey, little you girl over in the corner. Can you launch this event with this whatever, whatever?
No, and he said, we need to launch this event with a huge party, and it's in your hands. Do it.
Was this your first ever event?
Ever in my life.
And who asked you this?
My boss.
Who was your boss?
He was the COO.
The COO?
He was the COO.
Oh, word.
Yes.
So your boss said, hey, motherfucker, little person over here, we need to launch this magazine. I ain't got time for this shit. You go do it.
Yes. And I was like, I've never done a party before. Where am I going to do it? And I don't know who's going to perform. I don't know what. He said, figure it out.
Figure it out. That's what he told you.
Figure it out.
And what'd you do?
And I motherfucking figured it out. I thought about it, and I thought it needed to pay homage to performers that had bought us into this space. And what I thought was Rum DMC. And he said it was a very good idea, and I didn't have any idea how I was going to get Run DMC to perform at this party. And so he says, get in a town car, because that's when town cars was popping.
You had to get a voucher.
I had to get a voucher.
It was before Uber. You had to get a fucking voucher.
I had to get a voucher. And then I was on my 800, what was it? My SkyTel page.
He's on your SkyTel.
Yes. And I got a meeting with Leo Cohen. How I did it, I don't know. But I did. And he walked me into his office. He sat me on his couch and he ignored me for 2 hours.
Wow.
And I sat there while he ran meetings, while he talked on the phone. And I sat on that couch. And I had no idea why he had me sitting there or what was going to come. Mm-hmm. But he had me sitting on that couch for 2 hours. And at the end of that 2 hours, this guy walked through the door. And he said, "Eric, she wants to talk to you." And I was like, "Hi, Eric. My name's Carla. I'm from Vibe. And we're about to do this launch party. And we would like Run DMC to perform." And he was like, "Cool. I'm Run DMC's manager." Hmm. And that was how it began.
Eric Blamoville.
My nigga to this day. My nigga to this day.
That's what's up. That's
yes. And that's how our launch party
started. That launch party, yes. Where'd you have it? What happened at the you got Run DMC. Yes. What happened at the party?
Over 3,000 people showed up to Webster Hall.
Wow.
And it wrapped around the corner 3 times.
Mm.
Yes.
And what was all in that room?
Anyone that was in the publishing industry, that was in the entertainment industry, that was in the sports industry, and that was in the music industry. And it was a spectacular event.
Who DJ?
Yeah, I was about to ask.
Who DJ? I don't remember who DJ'd, but this is the one iconic moment that happened on that stage that night.
Mm.
Puff.
Mm.
So diligently asked if he could put his new artist on that stage. And we never heard of his artist before. And it was a back and forth and back and forth. And after Patra, who was...
Patra, the motherfucking
queen of the dance,
the butterfly.
Yes, Patra mm-hmm. performed. Right before she got on the stage, this big, burly, black nigga got on the stage and fucking ripped Party and Bullshit off the Who's the Man soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And that nigga was Biggie. And that was his first performance ever.
Wow. No, wait.
That's crazy.
So that's fucking crazy.
Iconic.
And we probably get to it.
I know.
We fucking get to it. But that was his first.
Yes.
Killed that shit.
Go ahead. I'm going to get
to it. How was the crowd? They were all
in? It was
in?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The balcony was shaking. It felt like it was going to
collapse.
Yes.
That's a good performance.
Yes.
When you feel like you're in danger.
Jade was there. The performer is Jade with the long
Don't
freaking,
walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was everything. It was everything. It was the moment that clinched what the music industry events were now about to be
right
about.
That was the wave. Like, with that became how the music industry event would be.
It definitely was.
How stressed out were you throughout that whole process, even to in that moment when Biggie is rocking? How are you feeling?
It wasn't even about Biggie.
Mm-hmm.
It was about...
He was unknown at that point.
Yeah, no one knew who he was. It wasn't about Biggie. It was about the people that were in that room.
Right.
It was about the people that embraced this new, what would become legendary, iconic publication.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea. The room was old, young, black, white, people of color, everybody together, and it profiled what the magazine would then be about. Every generation of music, art, fashion, beauty,
mm-hmm.
all in that room. And I placed upon my shoulders was me letting the people in that needed to get in,
right.
And not knowing who any of these people were, you know. And the line was around the corner.
How long had you had
been at the magazine at this point?
This was September. I was hired March 27th of so that
you,
same
you
year.
Fresh
I knew nothing.
In the game.
Yes, yes.
And you just.
Yes, yes. I was working off the skills my mama and daddy taught me.
What did they teach you?
They taught me just to be kind. Mm. To be kind and to work off of what I knew innately to do.
Right.
With and for people.
So after this event, the magazine goes out and it's launched. That's the Snoop issue.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then where do you fall within the company after this?
Well, it didn't take me long to become the events person. Because now I did the event, you know, right. And I was no longer an assistant to the COO. I moved into the events department, and now it was placed upon me to leverage what I was now learning to then partner with these new advertisers that didn't know.
But see, none of this existed.
None of it existed. Right. And that's why it's so hard for me to articulate, because none of it existed.
Right. And so now everybody knows the corporate party and the blah, 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 with the sponsors and shit like that. But that shit didn't happen then. That shit wasn't happening.
No.
This was new.
No.
And fresh.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you were flying off the cuff.
Flying off the cuff.
Right.
Going off of what I felt was right. Going off of what those around me at Vibe was telling me should be right, because they had worked at other magazines. I never worked in a magazine. I did commercials. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know.
But you was in a music video.
EPMD. I was in a music video.
EPMD.
I got paid $50. That was my first video.
What record was that again? That was
You got to chill.
Yeah. You got to chill.
Go to your YouTube right now.
You know what I'm saying? She's
you got to chill.
Yeah.
They named me a schizoid before they knew that schizoids was like kind of like a thought, but they thought a schizoid was like this like random chick. And that was my first video. Yeah, I got $50 off of that. Sleeping Bag Records. What's up?
Wow.
Iconic shit. That's dope.
Yes.
So now, Vibe blows up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Quincy Jones is there. You know what I'm saying? The magazine is big and iconic. It's the Black Rolling Stone.
It is. It had no competition because the source was the Hip Hop Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And Rolling Stone was completely and strictly for rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Vibe was for urban culture.
Mm-hmm.
We married fashion with music.
Mm-hmm.
No one had ever done that before. Mm. We put fashion and music and dance and graffiti. We put it all together.
Right.
And no one had ever done that before.
Right.
And our covers were so in your face and so larger than life, and you never knew what was going to happen from month to month. When that cover came out, you just waited with bated breath, like, mm-hmm. who's going to be on that cover, yo? Right. Who's going to be on that cover? Yeah. And
that
when you got that
cover,
that big ass cover, and mm-hmm. when you saw it, you was like, yo, we got it right every time.
No doubt.
Yeah.
D, where you want to go?
I mean, there's so many different places to go. You know, full disclosure, both me and Muhammad used to work for Carla.
But we're gonna get
there. Just
let
that know.
We're gonna get there. But before we got there, there was a lot of shit that happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, Carla, shit got down. You was the one. Y'all know Tupac, right? Of course. You know, Tupac Shakur.
Okay. He was Tupac Shaker.
He was Carl Kanai.
Another guy. He's from Minnesota.
He was cross colors and shit.
Right.
But then there was a point where he was Versace. You know what I'm saying? And that was after you took Pac to Italy to walk the shows with Donatella and the Versace situation. Tell us about that
Well, Tupac was, he was working on, he was working as an actor now. He was really working his way up as this, you know, actor to look at, and was very well sought after. And we had this amazing idea. Jeffrey from JB Media, who was our media company in Milan, and we were very good friends, we thought, who should we bring to Italy? Because that was becoming our thing, bringing someone to Italy to sit at the shows or to walk the shows, but to represent Vibe.
Mm. Who had been before Pop?
Quincy Jones.
No doubt.
Mm. It was a tough act to follow.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Don Dada.
Quincy Jones. And we also bought Shaggy. Oh.
Shaggy.
Mm-hmm. But that was, yes. So when we bought Tupac to Italy, they went mad. They went mad.
But that was, you know, the process was that that was his first passport, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tupac had never been out of the country before.
Wow.
So he had to get a passport. He didn't understand what was happening the whole time, so he bitched about it all the time. And mm-hmm. I would have to call him on his movie sets and talk to him about what was going to happen. And I would have to wake him up sometimes. And you have to understand, like, this was Tupac. Right. And it was like... like, this was Tupac, and I'm still a fan, mm-hmm. but I have to work this magic in mm-hmm. order to make him say yes, that he's going to actually get on a flight,
right.
fly across the country, and Gianni Versace himself wanted him to walk in his...
So Gianni was still alive.
Gianni...
him and Pac were still alive.
Very well, much so. Both was alive. Very much so. Damn. And he wanted Tupac to walk in his menswear show. Mm. And that was a lot to sell to this
rapper.
Nigga who
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like that was a tough sell.
What was his pushback? What was he beefing about, if you remember?
Why am I going? What am I doing? Why am I going? Who
see
who?
This was before Versace, like, was Versace, right. Versace, Versace.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? This was before.
Yeah. And he's like, why am I doing this?
And trust the vision.
No, yeah. And it was really, really, really tough to convince him. But I got to that point where I was able to get him on that plane. He was late. And we made the flight. And we went over there. And his eyes opened to a world he had never seen before. And you could see that he was enlightened in a way that... it totally took him by surprise, mm. the way that the Italians loved him, knew him, mm. you know? I think that was a fear, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, back right. in the day, there was no Instagram or right, no, right, right. you know what I'm saying? So he didn't know. He didn't know who was buying his records. He didn't know who was listening to him on right. underground music stations or by, what was that called, Lime?
LimeWire.
Yeah, he didn't know. He didn't know how his energy had preceded him. Mm. He had no idea. And when he got to that hotel, the amount of people that was there to greet him, he was shook. And he was, like, impressed.
And this is his first time outside of the United
this
States.
This is 19... When did he die? 96?
Mm-hmm.
He died in September.
Before the internet was even really
popping. This is in September, right?
Right, right, right.
We went in June.
June of 96, right before he died.
Yes. This was right before he passed.
Mm. Mm. So the passport picture that we always... they show on the internet...
I have that.
Wow.
Was from that passport.
It was the only passport he ever had. Yes. And Gianni wanted him to perform at his fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm going to perform, but it's a fashion show. And I'm like telling him, Tupac, this is where music meets fashion. Like, it's all a part of what our culture is going towards. Mm-hmm. They're going to love it. They're mm-hmm. going to love it. He was nervous. He was very nervous. And every fashion show we went to in Italy, Romeo Gigli, Versace, Fendi, every fashion show, they wanted Tupac to sit front row, and they wanted him to dress in their garments. So every day after the fashion show was done, we'd have to go to a fashion house, get him clothed for the next day, and I'd have to make sure he was in those clothing, in that clothing for the next day. But at Versace, they did the fashion show, and then it was his turn to perform. Mm-hmm. And then my boss had to go backstage to talk to Tupac to get him, like, you know, it's going to be okay. This is good. This is good. And he performed California Love, mm-hmm. the song he chose. Why? I don't know, because it had Dre on it, and Dre wasn't there.
Right.
So he had to, like, just kind of sit on a stage and, like, just do, like, you know, you see my arms, right, people? I'm moving from side to side. But then when it got to his part, he stood up and he crushed it. Mm-hmm. He killed it. And the Italians, they loved him. He was so beautiful and so... His eyelashes. His eyelashes. They were just... The women and the men, they loved... It was his eyelashes. It was him. It was mm-hmm. him. It was him.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he came back, and he had the Versace on. He had a new look.
He did.
He had a new look.
Because mm-hmm. he had a new... Because he was a different person.
Like, all eyes on me, and he came back. He had a new look. He was the Versace. You know what I'm saying? He was styling then.
Yeah, but only for a short period of time. But he had that moment, and he had that experience in his life, and it makes me feel like I was a part of that for him before he passed, because this kid, he'd never been across seas before, and he was Tupac. You would have thought he was worldwide, mm-hmm. and he wasn't.
Mm.
And he wasn't.
That's crazy.
Damn. All them platinum records. Right. And he had never been.
No. He had never been.
Wow. So that's what? That's what, 96?
Yes.
96.
And then when did you come, Ali?
I came to Vibe in 1999, and I was fresh out of the streets,
mm-hmm.
and I landed in New York, and
here we go.
Gary Lewis took me in.
Here we go.
And y'all heard of Gary Lewis. He's been on the show.
Yep.
And once I got on, Gary Lewis left probably like 3 weeks after I got hired. And you were on maternity leave, so you were having
second baby.
Because the party that I went to meet Gary Lewis, you had one baby and you had a pregnant belly.
Yeah.
And I met him, and he told me to come through. Woo, 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 we worked it out, and then you were on maternity leave after that party. It was the Armani Exchange party.
Yes, it was.
And so you were on maternity leave, and your office was empty and had some boxes in there. It was throwing shit in there. But he was like, yeah, you work out of there. And so I'm working out of your office, and, you know, you're not there. I don't know. I don't even know you. And I'm working. I'm doing my thing and shit. And then you come up to the office one day, and you...
To visit,
to whatever. You had to take care of something. And you were like, who the fuck are you? And why the fuck are you in my office?
I remember that.
Yeah, of course I remember that.
I'd remember that too.
You know what I'm saying? So you were like, well, what the fuck? Who the fuck are you?
I'm like, he was like, hi, I'm Ali. Nice to meet you. I know you're Carla. They just put me in here.
They just put me out. I don't want no motherfucking problem.
No smoke.
And then you came back. And they put me on a mission to teach you how to do PowerPoint. And you were like, motherfucker, I ain't fucking doing no PowerPoint. I took Tupac to Italy. What the fuck am I doing?
I did not say that.
PowerPoint.
I did not say that.
No, but you didn't. But you were like, motherfucker.
I was like, I'm not doing PowerPoint.
Who the fuck are you? But I don't, yeah. Motherfucker, you ain't teaching me shit. And I'm like, I'm just telling you what they told me.
It is true. It is true. But I just thought that I shouldn't have to learn PowerPoint when you know it so well.
No,
you know it for both of us. That's how good you know it.
But that was the mission they put me on. They told you to make a party. They told me to teach you how to do PowerPoint.
Right.
But we figured out that you ain't need PowerPoint. If I knew the PowerPoint,
correct,
and I figured out that I ain't need to teach you how to do the PowerPoint, because them motherfuckers, Gary Lewis left, and it was just me and you.
Well, that was the thing. That's when, you know, where old school meets new school.
Right.
It met at that point, and mm-hmm. it met at that point where I was giving birth to babies mm-hmm. and not caring at all about how the world of technology was changing mm-hmm. because I need to worry about if my baby was going to breastfeed and if I was going to be able to take care of my second child that was only 13 months apart.
Right.
Like my mindset as a single parent at that point was totally separate from learning the new fucking what the fuck? PowerPoint? Like, huh? Right. What's happening now in technology?
Right.
And that was real.
And see, for me, I was coming in the game. I mm-hmm. didn't know shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And she was the OG. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't really trying to cause no problems or nothing. I was just trying to figure it out. But then once Gary left, it was just me.
Mm-hmm. And I was out there by himself.
On the island.
By himself.
Nobody was. I think they was trying to fire me.
They, not
no, not
other
you.
Other they, the powers that be
was trying to, it was like, well, if Gary left, then you might as well
go with him,
kick rocks and yeah, go on with him.
Gone.
Now, it was a trip because that was the reason I started 21st Century Hustle, because I thought I was gonna get fired. So I was like, you know what, I need to do something. Mm. For myself, because these motherfuckers
don't care nothing about me.
About to throw me out the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And when I started 21st Century Hustle, you introduced me to Sybil. And she was my first interview. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Look at that.
You know what I'm saying? For me, it was like, okay, let me do something in case these motherfuckers find me. Mm-hmm. So it turns out, you know what I'm saying, they didn't fire me because of you.
Why didn't they fire you? Because of me.
Because at one of them sales conferences and shit, you was... See, you had to understand at Vibe, at this point at Vibe, what was going on was the CEO had left to start his own company. Keith Klinkscales left and went to start Vanguard.
Right, right.
And then... so they felt... He took a lot of people with him. So they felt like everybody that was black was going to go with Keith to his new venture.
Especially if there was a man.
Especially if there was a man. So Gary, who hired me, left to go to Vanguard, which left me there when they was thinking like, well, when the fuck you going over there, motherfucker? Mm-hmm. And I was like, they ain't got no motherfucking health insurance. And my wife is pregnant.
Right.
So I need this insurance. So I ain't motherfucking really trying to go nowhere. But if you're trying to throw me out, I'm gonna set myself up. So,
and we didn't know what was going on. We were really like foggy.
Right. So when you started, you know, working with me, we was at a sales conference or some shit.
We were at a sales conference.
And the president of the company, this is a little short white man,
John Rollins.
Very Ivy League-ish.
John Rollins.
Preppy. Polo collar popped, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You was over there in the corner with John, poking him in his head. Like, motherfucker, I don't know what you were saying.
Like,
but
real talk poking him.
But it was looking like, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like you were saying to him.
Negotiation.
But I know what the fuck he was saying. You know what I'm saying? And then after you finished talking to him, John Rollins came over to me and said, you the man. and walked away.
I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck just happened?
Got anointed.
You know what I'm saying? Like, poke. What the fuck just happened?
But I found out that you told him that it wasn't going to be another black man to leave this company. You know what I'm saying? And y'all not going to throw any of them out. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So you need to leave this motherfucker alone.
Yeah. Because he needs to, he's with me.
And I was with you. And that's how I got anointed in the game. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it wasn't nothing I did. I was protected.
It was everything you did. That's how you became the son.
What did I do?
You, Vibe Live. Hello. Hello.
Vibe Live.
Hello, my nigga. Hello.
You knew that. That's how you
got it. But this was before.
I
don't know. Shit, I didn't know. I just was. I was just.
What
trying
I just
to,
said that shit because you.
I was just trying to keep my motherfucking job. Vibe Live was just some shit that I knew I could do.
Yeah, but it was the shit you did really, really well. Mm. And I trusted you.
Bird.
Yeah.
And that's how the fuck I got on people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you did.
Bird.
And climbed.
Bird.
Boy, did you climb. Boy, did you climb.
Because I had backup. I knew in that particular time, in that particular place.
In that particular space.
In that space.
Once you became family.
Then I knew I could do my thing without judgment, without, you know what I'm saying? I knew how to move enough where I didn't even need a budget.
Yes.
Nobody had to.
When that hand got placed upon your shoulder.
Word.
Right.
Church.
Yes.
Yes. I don't even know what to say. You done took over.
That was it. But then when did this young lad come in to the space?
Man, I came in, I came about 02, 01, something like that.
How'd you come in?
Muhammad moved on to being a sales rep.
See, look at that. Mm-hmm. Hand upon the shoulder.
It opened the lane. And it was a couple people up for the position. I remember sitting down with you.
With me?
Yeah.
What I did?
You was bossed up. It was you. And
I wasn't mean, though, was I?
Nah, you were bossed up. You weren't mean, but you were, you wasn't on no bullshit, though. It was a clear tone that this was, you were speaking to a boss.
It was only because I loved that magazine.
No, absolutely.
Really, seriously.
Absolutely.
I took pride in building it, and I needed to know that you was real.
Right.
Yes.
And I remember being so borderline thirsty to be down. I'm not going to lie. Not thirsty to be down, but I mean, like, the events department was cracking. This was, at this point, it had been historic to do, you know, to work events at Vibe. And I remember we were negotiating salary, and I was so excited to be down that I think I lowballed myself.
You did.
I remember the fuck out of the lowball. I was like, damn, you know what? I think I could have got a couple thousand more, but I was like, I'll take it. And so that's what happened, you know. And then
and you just slid into Muhammad's position?
He basically, I mean, you know, yeah. Yeah, he kind of gave me this is what you need to know, da 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 da. And I had been laying my groundwork because I had been working for Vibe and Spin, and I used to work in the ad services department, which was very administrative. It wasn't the flyest thing.
It wasn't fly. You would look over at us and what?
It was like, damn, you're popping over there. But the thing about what happened was I used to deliver the maps, the ad maps. So I would go through the entire.
They don't know what an ad map is.
Ad map. The ad map was basically
the layout
of the magazine, and when you're laying out a magazine, you need to know where certain advertisers are going to be.
Because
certain advertisers, before there was things like competitive separation, certain advertisers couldn't be next to each other. You couldn't have Prada next to Gucci.
Absolute next to Hennessy.
Exactly. So you need to learn how to do that and lay the maps out. And the maps, they would move a lot. And every time the map came out, this is prior to a good PDF, you'd have to print out 15 some odd maps and walk the halls. And that's how I got to meet the people. Hey, here's the map, blah, 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 and whatever, whatever. But I would always see
cool kids.
Yeah, shit was cracking in your office. I was like, I kind of want to get that.
I had a couch and a whole shit. And everybody would be in my office and you'd come in, knock, knock, knock. Hey. Here's the map.
Right. Did I give you a map? Was I giving you a map?
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know exactly how we met prior, but I know when we started working, it was dope to the point when you become family, it's anointed. You in the loop.
It's a different loop.
When you get invited to lunch.
Right.
Ooh, Houston.
Go to the good Houston.
Going to Houston's cafeteria?
Oh, yeah. That was a big moment. Get you a good Hawaiian ribeye.
What?
He was living aspirational. He was like, oh, shit. This is different. But what I remember, it was so many things that I learned from you. But there were a couple things, the two things that really stand out. One, your phone game is phenomenal. You get anybody on the horn, and you could close a deal in damn near one phone call.
Listen, hold on.
It's crazy. You got to see that
hold
shit.
Hold on, before you go any further. Listen, people, when you're out there, from Carla, I've learned that you can call anybody in the world, and it's a way to call anybody in the world. It's a certain vernacular to calling somebody at the high end. Even if you don't even know these motherfuckers, but it's a way. And I learned, and it's a very simple thing that I learned. I don't know what you learned, D, but the one thing that I picked up that I still use to this motherfucking day, if I need to call somebody that I don't know, that is way above my motherfucking pay grade, league, and all that shit, it's one motherfucking line that you hit them with, and that Carla used to the motherfucking perfection. And I learned it from her. So, say you got to call somebody way above your league. You really got something real good to say. Because you got to have good shit.
And it's definitely assistant playing interference.
Definitely going to be an assistant that's going to motherfucking interfere. And you got good shit to say to this motherfucker. So, you call. Assistant. Such and such an office, nigga. And you better not be on no bullshit, because I'm not fucking with you, because I'm guarding this gate with a motherfucking steel fist. And you hit that motherfuckers with, is he available? That's it. You know what I'm saying? You don't say shit. Is he available? You don't motherfucking flinch. You don't do none of that shit. Is he available? So now they confused. Now they saying, wait a minute. Well, who is this? He must know this motherfucker. If he just straight disregarding my iron fucking wall garden.
There must be a rapport.
This must be one of his motherfucking closest friends. Hold on, let me see. And they come back. Either they gonna be available or not. He's not available. May I take a message? Well, tell that motherfucker to call. Well, you don't say motherfucker, but tell him to call. And you give him your number. That's it. And that shit works every time. Like, to skip the whole shit and just say, hey, this is such and such or Mr. Nah, fuck that. Is he available? Because that's my friend and I motherfucking know him.
But even beyond that, you would take the teeth out of some of these wolves. Like, these are people that are like very short with their time. They bosses. They get on the phone. You get them on the phone and you would hit like an empathy angle. You would be like, so how's the kids? How they doing? That shit would throw everybody off. They're like, well, you know, the kids are doing, really? So such and such. And it becomes a real conversation in under 2 minutes. It's a real conversation. And we're going to get done what needs to be done, but let's have a real moment. You've always been good for a real moment.
Right, right.
The couch in your office is a real moment couch. You know what I mean? Another exercise we used to do, because as these artists, you change, you get hot or whatever, you know, it would be myself, Shay was in the building. Shout out to Shay. And it'd be like, yo, so Beyonce popping, how would you get Beyonce? Who do you speak to get Beyonce? Like, oh, shit. And you would have to really know who to call, and that was a great technique. It made you sharp.
And for me, you know what I'm saying, it made me be able to get motherfuckers like that to do all kind of shit, whether it was in the music supervision world or whatever. I was able to get people to do things because of the technique. that I've learned sitting in your office. Not you ain't explicitly teach us that shit. You just watch. Did it. We just sit back and watch that shit. Like, damn.
Because you would come into the office like, yo, I done called 4 or 5 times. They ain't hit me back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They on the fence, blah, blah, blah. What's the number? That was it. What's the number? And forever, for whatever reason, they would pick up when you call. What's in the eye? And that shit would be done. You're like, all right, fair enough. I could dig it. So, nah, it was a.
That's wonderful.
It was bossed up.
Yeah, definitely. You had a way. The communication. You knew how to do that shit, and it was, you know. Hey, and we learned from that shit.
Right.
And we worked with every artist in the industry.
Even to this day, most of the motherfuckers, the major motherfuckers that you see is all still some of the same people from that era.
Yeah.
That's the managers. Mona Scott. You know what I'm saying?
Remy Ma. Coach Lil' K. Kim,
you know
Puffy,
what I'm saying?
T.I.
What?
All these, you know what I'm saying? All of these people, like Coach K, who runs the Migos and all that shit, he was Jeezy back in the day. He was, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All of these same people are still here and still running the game. But, you know, from that era, we were able to see them on the bubble and were able, you know, some people we had to aspire up to, and then some people we helped along in the game because of the shit we learned sitting on your couch.
Yeah.
The couch was what's up.
It was so many different things.
I got married at the courthouse, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It was on a Tuesday.
Mm.
I had to come to work.
Preach.
You know what I'm saying? And I brought my wife with me to work.
New wife.
My new wife. And she sat on your couch. Word. You know what I'm saying? While I went to work the day I fucking got married.
Wow. That's such a memory. That's such a memory, Ali.
Yeah.
That's what's dope.
That's what it was.
That's real.
You know what else was dope, just on an event level? That was a real moment right there, but let's give it let it breathe. Let that real moment breathe right there. All right, yeah. What I thought was cool, and I think it's lacking now in the event space in the world, especially people going out, a vibe party didn't have a VIP. And you were like, listen, if you were invited, then you special enough to be in that room. There needs to be no demarcation. There's nobody better than anybody. And that made that party feel like a party.
And I didn't even know when I created that was a creation.
That's fire.
Yeah. VIP.
The no VIP. Because if you were invited to a vibe party, you got free liquor.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the artist.
Right.
You were up close and next to the artist, and you left with a fire-ass gift bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody was on the same level.
Right.
Everybody sat next to each other, partied with each other. There was no rope and stanchion for a VIP.
Mm-hmm.
If you were invited to a vibe party, you were a guest.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And we made everybody feel like they were special.
What were some of your favorite events that you'd done? If you had to rank them or just looking back.
I can't. Because each one.
What moments felt
yeah,
that you remember? Like
really special. I mean, you know, the whole Tupac thing, for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Quincy would come to the office.
Right, right.
That wasn't even an event. But that was an event to us. When he would just like come to the office and just chill all day and just chop it up with, you know, the staff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some of the events. Oh gosh, it's too many. Yeah, dang. So,
Lil' Kim.
Iceberg.
Oh. Iceberg.
Oh yeah. Keep going.
What else was there?
Come on. You know him well.
Yeah. With the Fila joint. With
Ludacris. When we created the bodega and the candy store.
But that was the iceberg.
That was iceberg. And we went out and got iceberg clothing.
See, last week when we talked to Bevy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, saying her spending iceberg, too much money. He was at the time Terrell, who was the stylist for.
Yeah, he wasn't even at the pinnacle.
He's the stylist right now for Khaled, right?
Right.
Back then, he worked at Iceberg when Iceberg was on fucking fire.
Fire. In that mansion on freaking some side street off Madison Avenue.
And we had this event, Vibe on Ice.
Vibe on Ice.
You know what I'm saying?
Meant Iceberg.
It meant Iceberg. When Iceberg was on fire.
Right.
And we went out to the fucking warehouse.
In New Jersey. Mm-hmm.
Where they had all the Iceberg fire.
Fire.
And they were like, and Terrell was like, pick whatever the fuck you want.
What do you
want
to wear?
Whatever the fuck you want. I still got that butter leather.
I still got Iceberg. My butter leather, freaking leather suit that I wore.
You know what I'm saying?
Word.
I had the butter leather fucking Scooby-Doo leather jacket and shit.
Right.
It was like fucking $3,000 ass jacket that we just rolled through and got.
And just picked.
For free.
To wear in the motherfucking
Because that was
event.
The moment of the event space and fashion space, you know? They wanted you to embrace, that fashion at that event.
Right.
Because they knew our events were going to be iconic.
Right. And then Luda performed. That was dope.
That was the first performance from...
Slick Rick. After he got
out
of
jail.
God damn, I forgot about that.
First event after he got out of jail.
When he got out of jail, that was his first event. That was our event.
Yeah.
We had Jeezy's first ever event in New York City. That was big.
Jeezy first.
That shit was crazy.
Jeezy's first event in NYC. Jeezy's first award show. We had Jeezy on the fucking Yard Fest. We had Jeezy every fucking where when he came out.
It's a good look. We had Vibe events. We had Vibe events and we had Vibe Awards.
We had Quincy Jones Awards.
which was a whole other level
of fly shit.
When Ali would have to go out to Quincy's house.
Quincy Jones Awards was my come up.
That was your come
that was,
up.
I went to the next level because Quincy would always be at in the south of France when we did that event. It was in June. It's Black Music Month. And we had the Quincy Jones Achievement Award. He would never come. And I had this camera, and I was like, well...
We got to get him on tape. We got to do it.
If he's not going to come...
Yeah, I don't know.
We got to get him on tape. I got a camera. I could shoot him. I shot him 1 year. It worked.
No, you went to his house.
No, before. Oh. The first year, he was in New York.
Yes.
I shot him in New York at a photo shoot. We did it. It went up. It was good. The next year, I went to his house, and then I shot it. It was cool. The third year... was when we connected. The third year, he was producing this big event in Rome, and he wasn't focused, so he wasn't hitting the lines. So I was kind of producing him. I was like, you know what? We should probably just take a break. And he was like, you know what? You're right. We took a break, and in the break, he started, you know, he was asking me questions. Who are we? You know, where you from? I'm like, I'm from Miami. I'm Dade County, you know. Blah, blah, blah. We talked, blah, blah. He was like, you know, that's cool. Da, 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 da. We got back together and he hit it. He got all his lines after we took the break. And he was like, man, that was a great idea for us to take that break. And then when I was about to leave, he signed the book. And you know, I went along my way. I skedaddled. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, that was cool. I kicked it with Quincy Jones. But this might have been a few weeks later. I'm at a fucking barbecue in Brooklyn. Chilling, and my phone rang, and it's, you know what I'm saying?
Security.
I answered the phone. I was like, hello? Hey, Ali, what's going on? I was like, yeah. He's like, it's Q. I was like, who? He's like, it's Quincy. I'm like, oh, shit. So I go outside.
Get away from these people.
I had to go outside and get away from the niggas.
Right. Please.
Come on, guys. Come on. Keep it down, guys. Keep it down.
I don't know these people.
Keep it down. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he was hitting me because he wanted to do a record with Trick Daddy and Ludacris. Mm. And he talked to his son, and his son told him that I knew
QD3
told him that I knew Trick Daddy's people and Ludacris people, so he called me. So I'm like, I'm on the phone with fucking Quincy Jones. I'm like, you want to talk to who?
And he using you as a connect.
Trick Daddy.
There's a connect. So I was like, you want to talk to Trick Daddy? Shit, that ain't no fucking problem. You want to talk to Ludacris? So I called Shaka, Luda's manager, on the other line, and we was on the phone. And then he was like, yeah, da 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 da, and you know. We could meet, and then Shaka was like, "We're gonna be in LA on Monday," and I'm like, "Shit, y'all."
So
I'm gonna be in LA on Monday too, then, motherfucker. Shit. So I bought me a ticket. I flew out, and Luda met Quincy, and it was a moment, and I was like right there front row, and that's how, you know what I'm saying, my mind went from one place to a whole nother other, like, oh, this shit is another space.
It was the plug.
I connected, but you know what I'm saying, it was that time and that space for me to see other shit. So the first time, like, you took Tupac to Italy, you know what I'm saying, in 96. Quincy took me to Italy in 2004. That was my first time getting a passport and going out of the country, was with Quincy Jones going to Tehran.
That's fly.
Changed my whole fucking shit.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Word.
Thank you, guys.
Oh,
you,
well, tell
you,
us
what you clocked off.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes. What's going on now? I know you you got some new ventures percolating. You want to speak about it? Let the people know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not living in New York right now. I'm living in St. Louis, and I am
where you're from.
Mm-hmm. Where I'm from.
Don't act like it's just some random place that you're living.
No. That's where all my family and my kids are in school. Shout out to Nigel at Umsel, and shout out to Kaya Warshu.
Word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I am revamping my events company, which is Radford Events, and it is going to, be very much calibrated towards the millennials. Mm. And you'll be able to check out my website, which is Radford Events, in a few weeks. And I am reaching the younger crowd in St. Louis to let them know how events are supposed to be done, and how events can be done, and how they can have very unique quality events with artists that they never thought they'd be able to get in touch with, mm-hmm. or be able to connect with. They will be able to do that through my company.
Word. Mm. Dope.
Yeah.
That's
what's up. So if y'all want to know what a Radford event looks like, especially if you're in St. Louis, you know, get in tune, because it's a moment. It's
definitely a moment. And even if you
not in St. Louis,
but see, the thing is,
it's not about
the geography, because we did shit in towns that it didn't really fit. You know what I'm saying? The thing about it is that it's an energy. Yeah. And that energy is translated through execution. And it's not, you know, so a lot of times people, you know, they get a room, they open the doors, they charge a fee. You know what I'm saying? But it's a lot that goes into putting things in that room that makes the moment special. And I think that's what you did better than most. Mm-hmm. And what you added to the culture, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, like, you know, if you look at the New York entertainment industry, culture, events, even to this day, you know what I'm saying? They're still trying to catch up to the things that you were doing at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people look at what happened as opposed to the energy that went into creating it. So you got people doing fly shit, but fly shit that transcended just the moment itself, but went into the lexicon of, oh shit, that mm-hmm. happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just to bring it home, you know what I'm saying? Your first event, you know, and they charged you with, hey, we got to launch this magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You do this event.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You did it. And then this motherfucker, Puff Daddy them, say, hey, man, I got this artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Can you put him on stage? You made that moment happen.
Made that moment happen.
You know what I'm saying? Even if you fast forward to Biggie's last event.
Yeah.
The event that he did, that he was at, that he attended the night he got shot. That was your event. So it was Biggie's first and Biggie's last, but at the same time, it was because
I never thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I didn't think of it that until you said earlier that that was his first. And I would have said it then, but I knew that that was sensitive.
Right.
So I waited to the end, but that was you on his first big industry event. And then his last industry event was your event. And that's not happenstance. That's not just because. It's a reason for that. It's an energy to that. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you can't buy. That's what you can't recreate. You know what I'm saying? That's some shit that's just specific to you and what God gave you. Even though you didn't know you had it.
Salute.
Why y'all so quiet?
I mean, that was just, you know, it was a real moment.
That was a real moment, yo.
You know what I mean?
But that's real.
That is real. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla Radford, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
We've spoken about you many times on the pod, so I'm glad that you're finally here behind the mic to let the people hear your voice, get an idea of your essence, you know, and just let you know how much we value you and how much you've brought to the game, you know?
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
What you doing for Thanksgiving?
I hope I represented. Okay. No,
you, of course, you killed it.
You ain't got to represent.
Killed it.
I'll be home.
Thanksgiving, what you got going? I know you, you know, you do the events and momentous occasion.
Yeah, right. No, my sisters take it over. I got three older sisters and they carry the ball.
Okay.
All of them older, you the youngest?
I am the youngest.
Kim is older.
Val's older and Angie is older.
No, I thought you was Kim's older sister.
Yeah. No. Nice. I'm the youngest.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving in the loo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where you going to be Thanksgiving, D?
I'm going to be in Long Island at my sister's crib. We're going to do that. It's going to be a good one. You know, same old tradition. Where you going to be?
I'm going to be in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? We do our Thanksgiving with the Fieldses. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Rob and Brigitte Fields. Brigitte is an author. Rob is the, he runs the Weeksville Heritage Center in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? But we've been doing Thanksgiving together since my kid was a baby, like
that's years.
Nice.
Yeah, so you know we do Thanksgiving with them, and so it should be good. You know, I already, you know, saying got some of the food shit in the play. You know, my wife gonna make a little of this. My middle son
does the sweet potato souffle,
no doubt.
Damn.
But I'm gonna order the turkey from the good Whole Foods because you know, you know what I'm saying. That's a momentous task.
I heard Popeye's got a good fried turkey for $40. I might fuck with it.
I'm curious because my fried turkey man is not doing it this year.
I never had fried turkey before.
It's amazing. I haven't done it.
We usually either, most of the years they bake the turkey, but last year I ordered the turkey from Whole Foods already done.
Right.
But my fried turkey dude.
Jive turkey?
Nah. Lloyd Porter Bread Love. He usually fried the turkeys. He might not do it this year, so I'm in the market for a fried turkey.
Because they're everything.
Yeah, I haven't had one, but I heard they the shit.
I usually do both and let them fuck up the regular turkey on the regular day, and then I had a fried turkey on the leftover situation.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got to have your leftover game, all right. You know?
Yeah. Well.
So that's what it is. Happy Turkey Day, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And we're thankful for y'all.
No doubt.
You listeners, what you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for this moment.
No doubt.
Hear that.
And I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for you. You know
too.
What I'm saying? For standing up for me and, you know what I'm saying, making motherfuckers know not to fuck with me. You know what I'm saying?
What
opening
a
up
poke.
A door where I could operate freely and shit.
Good job.
You know what I'm saying? Because when you're out there in the world and you're trying to come up, You need a good, you know, sometimes you need a good rad free, a good representative to speak to, you know what I'm saying, who you are. So stand up, be strong in your game, and you know what I'm saying, people will look out for you.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
What you thankful for?
I started it off. I told you I was thankful for y'all for all of this.
Thank you.
Know
what I'm saying?
You know, friends and family as well. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Thankful to the conversationalists who listen to us every week and, you know what I'm saying, give us feedback and shit and ride with us and all that good stuff, man. We've been here for some hundreds of episodes and we're here for the long haul. So we sure do appreciate y'all.
And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even enemy.
To get in the conversation.
And really do that shit, man. Tell a motherfucker right now.
Yeah.
You thankful for the conversation. And tell a motherfucker to come listen to our shit, because we done glowed up.
Yeah.
Right? Glow it up.
There you go.
We out.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.